I watch people. I'll say something weird one time, once in a while in our church, just to see how you respond. Okay. But I'm also a note taker. I like to sit in church, and when other people preach, I like to write it down. Now, once ink dries, you can't read it, but I still like writing it down. Because you intelligent people, you got that photo mind. You got to remember, when I checked into the Marine Corps, you have to check your brain in. That's why they call us jarheads. Because they take your brain, put it in a jar, and promise to give it back to you one day, but they never do. So unlike you, I have to write things down. And at 76 years old, I get up to go to town. We live out. We have to drive. You ladies are going to faint on this. We have to drive 30 miles to Walmart. So if I'm going into town, I'll write a list of things I've got to do while I'm in town. And if I don't, it won't get done. Yeah, you guys are laughing. You're going to be old one day. So I found out this about me. I thought a thought. But the thought I thought a thought was not the thought I thought a thought. So the next time I think a thought, I'll put it down with pen and ink so I know what I think. Amen. So I wrote some things down here. We've heard this week Terrell Hopkins preach on a well-done ministry. I want that to be in my life. I do. Then we heard how that from Brother Greg. Dr. Neil. Listen to me carefully. I'm not making fun of him or belittling him. I could not do what he's doing. You got too many irons in the fire, folks. You're dumber than a day old goat. I can't handle life that way. I can't handle it. But our goal should be to fill our Jerusalem with the doctrine of God. Then we heard, I think I got that right, Samuel Filbert. We must decrease to increase. Amen. And then Christianity, someone to love, willing to be skilled, and have the Lord be with you. Well, that was good too. And then no one left behind. I want to talk about that in a minute. And then I wrote down this too. Then you had Alan Domley toiling. And then last night, Brother Greg proved or propped up. I'm telling you, listen carefully now. I'm telling you, this has been a good week. But are we really ready to go home and do what we've heard this week? Preach and taught. Oh, are we willing to go home? And we got to be ready to do it. In a few minutes, I'm going to preach a sermon on four things that Paul was ready to do. So get ready, get ready, get ready. The one I want to talk about for just a minute was the one about leaving no one behind. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but he kept looking at me and said, you've had to go back and don't leave it. You had to go back and get them in the war. But somebody had to come back and get me too. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And I've had mostly young boys have come up to me and asked me about that. And I've given some. So listen to me carefully. This is going to be for everybody, not just the young kids. When you're going after the ones who could be left, the enemy's still there. When you got to go back in, listen carefully. When you have to go back in to make sure you're not leaving anyone behind, the enemy is still there. Rockets and mortars and bullets are still flying. So the enemy's still there, and it's dangerous. By the way, you can get hurt not leaving somebody behind. And you could even get killed. But what about when you're the one that's left behind? The army of the Lord is the only army in the history of mankind that shoots their wounded. Amen. So when you're the one that's left behind, you think differently. You think differently. When I got my left arm blown half off at 1:30 in the afternoon, back in May of 1969, the rockets were falling so hard, the corpsman couldn't come up and help you. There was no medical help at all. You're just laying there. And you're bleeding out. And you wonder, does anyone care? I'm talking about when you're the one left behind. You wonder, does anyone care? Is anyone going to come help me? And you sit there, and in your mind, you just think about all of those things. You want help, but you wonder if help's coming. After they thought I was dead and literally put me in a body bag for dead, zipped it up to send my body back home, back to right here, 30 miles from here. You wonder all kind of things, but listen to me carefully. I have gone in and gave up safety to not leave anybody behind. But even when they thought I was dead, even though I was severely wounded, somebody came and got me and did not leave me behind. Amen. But we're too good for that, aren't we? Well, I don't mind helping somebody as long as I don't hurt. I don't mind helping somebody as long as it don't cost me anything. And brother, I want you to know, brother, that resonated so much with me, I couldn't get it off my mind. And I thank you for it. There was a time in my life when I was going through a tough time. And everybody kept telling me I was doing it wrong. I had four preachers one time call me and said, we're coming by. They were from out of town. Well, all we want to do is take you to breakfast and talk with you. And as we sat at breakfast that day, this is what they said. To the east of you is the largest Mormon valley in the world. To the west of you is the largest Indian reservation in the world. Do not start a church here where you're trying to start one. It will not work. I mean, it seemed like everybody was against what I was doing. And I said, fellas, I said, I don't know what to tell you. This is what God's leading me to do. This is what God told me to do. Out of those four men, three of them, I mean, not even in the ministry anymore, don't even go to church anymore. And I've seen hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people saved because I obeyed God. But during that same time, it seemed like nothing was going good. Everybody was against me. Dr. Howes told me this. By the way, I'm getting a little tired of this. Everywhere I go, people tell me, oh, I knew Jack Howes better than anybody. His wife probably knew him pretty good. But Dr. Howes just told me, he said, Brother Chitty, I wouldn't do this the way you're doing it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, not Brother Howes, too. And this is what he said. Brother Chitty, I wouldn't do this the way you're doing it. But you ought to keep doing it that way because it's working. Amen. Listen carefully. People are wounded. And I'm going to say this to you, and I said this at Brother Hopkins this weekend when I was preaching up there. Many times preachers can hurt people and don't realize they've hurt them. That's why what you said this morning was so good. And you ladies missed it, so you're hateful anyways. It don't matter. Amen and amen, amen. We have got too much brother watching and not enough father watching. Amen. Amen. My question this morning is this. I've just gone over everything I've heard this week. But are you ready to go home and do something with it? Let me give you something real fast, and I'll get out of the way and let Brother Sellers come. Four things that Paul said he was ready to do. First one's in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm just going to give them to you, and I'll preach it later to you. Probably not. I'll probably never get invited back, but that's okay. That is still in the Bible, isn't it? There it is. There it is. Romans chapter 1. Listen carefully. I'm going to start reading verse 14 and read just a couple verses here. But verse 14, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And as much as in me is, I am ready. I am ready. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, you know what? I'm ready for the gospel. I'm not only ready for the gospel for myself, I'm ready to get it out, to get the gospel out. And you know, you've read the Bible. Did you realize that if we don't speak to warn, by the way, you can't save nobody? I'm sorry, you're not that powerful. And by the way, you're not going to go to heaven because you come to this church or the church you go to. You're not going to go to heaven because you got a good pastor. You're not going to go to heaven because of you. Amen. But you can. But by the way, we can't save anybody, but we sure tell them about somebody that can. Amen. And Paul said, I am ready to get the gospel out. I believe that was one of his convictions. I know it's a commandment. Don't look at me like that. I know it's a commandment. We ought to go do it. But we won't be good at it till we get a conviction about that's what we should be doing. Amen. But he said, I'm ready for the gospel. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we were in that this morning too, wasn't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I've got trifocals and they're worn out and I'm blind. Okay, I'll find it here in a minute. Just be patient. Old people are old people. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Behold, the third time I am what? Ready. Behold, for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul said, I'm ready for the gospel. And number two, Paul said, I'm ready to serve the saints. I'm ready to serve the saints. It's amazing to me that I said this earlier, but it's, I knew Jack Howells better than anybody. I knew Lee Robertson better than anybody. And truth of the matter is, you don't even know yourself, because it's all about you instead of others. Paul made his mind up. It wouldn't be about him. It would be about others. To do that, he had to forget of being a murderer. We say the Indian people are savages. The Apostle Paul was a savage. He murdered, he chained and bound people, put them in jail just because they was in love with Jesus. But now he says, you know, I know. By the way, he asked the Lord to, you know, to remove it. Thorn in the flesh, but God never did. I'm ready to serve the saints. He's saying here, it's not about me, it's about you. I believe all of us, and you take us any way you want to take it, I believe every one of us, even somebody as dumb as a stump like me, can be used of God if you'll let him. I think we all can be as close to God as we want to be. But it was, you know, we get on to Peter a lot. We do. Boy, we rip Peter when we preach. One day they was out in the boat. Jesus come walking on the water. Only one of them got out and walked on water. There was three frogs on a log. One decided to jump in. How many's left? Is the answer two? No, the answer is three. He decided to, but he never did it. Amen. He said, I'm ready for the gospel. He said, I'm ready to serve the saints of God. And then go to Acts 21 with me, please. Acts 21. I'm going to read verse 13. Acts 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready. For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm ready for Jesus. I'm ready for Jesus. You know what he's saying? I'm ready to surrender. No longer my will be done, Lord, but your will be done. We you know what most of us, and I love you, but most of us live our lives, my will be done. And then we wonder why God is not using us. Amen. And you young people, listen to me carefully. It's not God, you show me what your will is, and if I like what you show me, I'll do it. Sorry, guys. You'll never do anything for God. Ladies, you either. Last month, my wife and I celebrated our 56th wedding anniversary. 56. Can you believe that a handsome, good-looking like me is married to a great-grandmother? Hard to believe. Hard to believe. But it's true. And at the end of this month, she's going to be great-grandmother again. And I love it. But Paul says, you know what? It don't always go my way. I don't always get what I want. I was going to get up and make fun and say, well, I'd like to tell you all about this book I wrote, but I've never wrote one. I'd like to tell you about this favorite song of mine. I'll sing it for you right now. Oh, that ain't going to happen. I can't. Listen carefully. I can't write books. I'm not a very good preacher. A very, very poor pastor. But watch this carefully. I can give God me. Amen. And I don't know why God would want this mess, but thank God he does. There's got to come a time in your life. Everybody knows what this means in a universal language? I surrender. I surrender. Many of us, I'm talking about preachers now, I love you, and you've been good to me. But we need, it's not something you do just once in your life. Almost every morning of your life, you'll have to get up and go, Lord, I surrender. Paul said, I'm ready for Jesus. I'm ready to surrender. One more and we'll shut up. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, let's see. Let's begin reading in verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now, what? Ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Watch this carefully. He said, I am ready for the gospel. He said, I'm ready to serve the saints. He said, I'm ready for Jesus. Now he said, I'm ready to go to heaven. Listen carefully. You ain't going to heaven unless you're saved. You must be born again to get to heaven. But there's more to it than that. Do you realize a record's being kept in heaven of everything you do? Do you realize that one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the flesh, whether good or evil? Hello? And some he'll have to say to, save so as by fire. But some, glory to God in the highest. By the way, you're not going to get to heaven and grab Jesus and hug him around the neck. You're going to fall at his feet and wish you had done more. And some, he's going to walk over, just falling at his feet, and he's going to reach down and pick him up and pull him into his bosom and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. When you get old, you relate back to being childhood. You know, you're 76 and a half. You no longer cry when they make you take a nap. You cry if you don't get one. You really, really do. But another thing you do, your imagination sort of floats. Listen carefully. You forget things. I'm going to tell you today, though, listen carefully. At 76 years old, my memory is better than it's ever been. I can remember things that didn't even happen. Amen. Not everybody can do that. You ever got siblings together or husbands and wives together and they talk about the same story and it comes out differently? Because that's the way we remember it, right? But I'm at that age now where I play games with myself. By the way, one good thing about Alzheimer's, you can hide your own Easter eggs. Amen. And I'll get to thinking sometimes and to relate it so I can understand it in my little peanut brain, I'll imagine it like a child does. For instance, I picture when the Bible says, rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I picture this. God says to an angel, bring me the Lamb's book of life. And they bring it to God. God says, give me that heavenly pen. Well, I'm about to get excited here. And he says, now to another angel, bring me the ink. And the angel said, Lord, this is what I brought, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And God takes that heavenly pen, looks down at that heavenly book, dips that heavenly pen in that ink, which is the blood of Christ, and writes a name down. That's the way I see that. That's just my imagination now. I see it that way. I believe there's two great things, and you're going to laugh at me and think I've lost my mind and I don't have one to lose, so just forget that. There's two great events that happens if you're saved, but you can only experience one of them. But not really. You can experience both. Can you imagine if to die is to be absent with the Lord? Can you imagine? And you young people won't have a clue about this, but when you got a metal arm and a metal knee, and if it works, it hurts, you get excited about these things. Do you realize to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord? There's a door in the back of this auditorium, and in the back of this building there's a door. And I got to go through those doors to get somewhere. Did you know death is no more for a Christian than opening a door and going into heaven? That I just can't imagine that. I mean, you sitting here, listen, I spend more time in the doctor's office than I do the church office. But one of these days, I'm going to be absent from this body and in the presence of God. We pout and cry about that. What a great experience that could be. And the next thing is to be alive and remain till Jesus comes back and go to meet him in the clouds. Whew. Whew. My wife's son, Larry Don, has got a screw loose. And we used to break horses when he was little to make extra money because I'd never gone on a deputation. We had to do whatever we could do to make a living. And he grew up hating horses because of it. He thinks the only good horse is a dead one. And he comes up with the weirdest stuff you can ever think of. But when he acts like me instead of his mother, he can make sense. And he said, Daddy, can you imagine if you die first? I'm going to take care of Mama. Yeah, sure you are. Sure you are. Let me tell you what kind of kid this is. He went to his mother. My wife told him in tears, I would rather die than have Alzheimer's like my mama did. Because she had to take care of her mama that last year. And it was horrible. And so her son, Larry Don, said this, Mama, if Daddy dies first, I'm going to take care of you until we have to change your diaper. Then you go to the nursing home. And he said, and the first time I visit you at the nursing home, you don't know me, will be my last time to go to the nursing home. Sweet kid. But glory to God, let me tell you this. Paul said, I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm saved. And watch this carefully. The Bible says if we don't speak to warn someone, their blood will be on our hands. But if we speak to warn them, they're still going to die in their sin, but their blood will be on their own head. The Apostle Paul, the man that right here that said, I'm ready to go to heaven, said this. There'll be no blood on my hands. Now, I believe that to be true because it's in the Bible. That means he witnessed to everybody he was supposed to witness to. I can't say that. I can't say that. I believe there's going to be people in heaven that got there early because there's a sin and a death. But I also believe there are going to be people in heaven that you and I don't even think should be there. And there's going to be people not there that we think should be there. But Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready for the gospel. I'm ready to serve the saints. I'm ready for Jesus. And I'm ready for heaven.